السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. صدق الله العظيم.
علماء الكرام، most respected brothers or sisters listening over receivers, and all listeners of Channel Islam. Surah Wadduha is well known. It's a very beautiful surah, and we can say it discusses the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If a person has to discuss Surah Wadduha, then we will say he can discuss the whole seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. However, in the time that we have on a Jummah day, we cannot even touch upon the surah. So I'm not going to go into any detailed tafsir of this surah. I recall some years back we did it in detail. Inshallah, again, if Allah Ta'ala wills, we will discuss it. But today, something that came to mind, I wish to put it across to you, with regards to the three ayat that I have recited. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ظَالًّا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. Just to give very, very brief background, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after having received the wahi from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came, recited the first verses of the Quran Sharif, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, the first verses that were revealed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was informed of his nubuwat, because nubuwat he was given long before he came into this world. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had decided that he is going to be Sayyidul Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wasalam. It was the 40th year of his life. So after receiving this wahi, then there was a period of time that's called Fatrat-e-Wahi. That means there was a kind of a stoppage. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam did not come for some time. And this was the most difficult time upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was being taunted. They were saying that, where is that Allah that you say sends down that angel with wahi? Where is that wahi? Why has it stopped? So they used to taunt him that he has become displeased with you. And some used to say he has forsaken you. And some even used to say that, na'uzu billah, na'uzu billah, your shaitan has now left you. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, irrespective of what kind of tests and trials he was going to experience in his life, poverty, hardships, being stoned and everything else, that was easy upon him in comparison with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becoming displeased. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was displeased, then it was as if the world had come to an end. And that is the condition of all the awliya-i-kiram, that they are not so much concerned about anything else than that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has become displeased. So when they are saying that your Allah has forsaken you, it really hurt and grieved him. There is a long story behind it. I'm not going in that direction now. But this was the cause of the revelation of the surah Wadduha. Umm Jamil, the wife of Abu Lahab, she was the one who said that your shaitan has forsaken you, na'uzubillah. And many other things that were said. So when this surah was revealed, it was more a consolation to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that you haven't done anything that is displeasing to Allah. There is nothing that you have done that is displeasing to your Creator, to your Rabb, to your Sustainer. Then why must He hold back that wahi? He is not displeased with you. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't distanced Himself from you. He is not displeased with you. There is nothing of that nature. So in this surah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala assures him and gives him some kind of consolation by beginning the surah with وَالْضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Now again, if we go in the discussion of these ayat, then we won't be able to discuss what I've got in mind. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is taking a qasam by duha. Duha is when the sun, that part of the day when the sun has come out and everything is now bright and lit up. I'm just giving you a meaning. Everything is now bright. You look at the buildings, you look at the parks, you look at the trees, you look at the people. Everything is now bright. Therefore we call it that we are making Salatul Duha. Now that is again another discussion about Ishraq and Salatul Duha. But in any case, when the sun is now out and bright and clear, we'll say at about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. So how much of brightness and how much of shine there is. And then taking qasam of the night, when it has gone dark and everything has become still, to convey the message that just as there are great benefits in light, in the day, in the same way there are great benefits in night and in the darkness. Go to those countries where 6 months of brightness and 6 months of darkness. What a miserable life they have to lead. So the sun just doesn't set. And without the darkness, you don't seem to enjoy that kind of sukoon. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's great ihsan. Therefore, I say that on our part of the world, everything is like a balance. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being given assurance that your Allah ta'ala hasn't left you. He is not displeased with you. But just as there are great benefits in light and in darkness, in day and in night. So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in His wisdom has well held back that wahi. And it is going to come again, just as after the darkness comes light, after the night comes day. So rest assured that that day light is going to come, that wahi is going to come again. And then there is a discussion before that, inshallah, at some other time when we are discussing the surah in detail, we'll go into that. But after that, again, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to give double assurance to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that He is not displeased with him, neither has He forsaken him. Allah ta'ala says, Alam yajidka yatima fa'awa. Did we not find you an orphan child and we gave you shelter? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before he came into this world, his father had passed away. So he was born an orphan child. He was born an orphan child. Therefore it is stated that when the people used to come and they should look at the beautiful face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, no blemish, no defect of any kind, the most beautiful face that had been ever created in this world. When they used to come and give her congratulations, Hazrat Amina, tears used to flow from her eyes. She says, how I wish the father was alive today. How I wish his father was alive. He would have taken him into the bazaars. He would have taken him on his shoulder. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have carried him. Or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have been carried in the arms of his father. And he would have been given that affection that the father gives normally, a child of that kind. So now all these type of thoughts were running in her mind. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. Now look at the millions of orphans, as we say around the world today, what kind of a life they have to lead, especially when there is nobody to pass the hand of love and affection over their heads. And instead of caring for them, they digest the properties of the orphans. Orphan child doesn't know what property the father has left behind. And those who are trustees and executors in many cases, they believe that this is our property now. Where will this child ever know what happened? How many properties disappear? and what kind of treatment often children are given. When we listen to some of these incidents, it shocks us. So now here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He made Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam come into this world as an orphan child, as a consolation to the orphans of the world, that you do not have to grieve, and you do not have to lose hope and trust and faith, that Allah who brought up Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and put His love into the heart of his grandfather, first his mother, then grandfather, then uncle. So that Allah is the one who brings up everyone, whether he's an orphan child or he's not. How many were very, very rich and very powerful, but suddenly everything changes and they are left without anything. And so many orphan children grow up to be very rich and have everything of the world and of the akhirat also, if Allah Ta'ala wills. So here, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى, showing clearly that your Allah has not become displeased with you, because when you were an orphan child, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave you shelter. He put that love into the heart of your mother. And then when your mother was taken away at the age of 6, the mother is also gone. And the place called Abawa, Hazrat Amina had taken Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and she was going to Medina Sharif. And there at Abawai place, the mother passes away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to say that I can still remember the scene when I was sitting on the head side of my mother and when she was breathing her last. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was 6 years of age. He says he clearly remembers the last moments of his beloved mother. Who was it that again transferred that love into the heart of the grandfather? And that grandfather was waiting for them in Makkah Sharif. Those days there was no cell phones and telecommunication and wireless and communication and everything else. They had to wait for somebody to bring some news. As Abdul Muttalib, when he was waiting on the mountain top that when will they return, he was waiting for his grandson. Suddenly they see one woman that is coming. Umm Ayman was bringing him back. He said, then where is his mother? You have brought the child back, where is the mother? He said, the mother has passed away. Left her behind in Abawa and came away. So, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. First the father was gone, he became yateem. But now even the mother is taken away. Allah Ta'ala wanted to show that He is the one that is going to darish. He is the one that is going to care. And He is the one who is going to upbring and guide Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam throughout his life. Nobody must take upon himself that kind of honor to say that I was the one that gave him everything, provided everything for him and nourished him and did everything for him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now that his mother was also gone, so who was it that transferred that love into the heart of your uncle? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. Did we not find you an orphan child who gave you shelter? Humne aapko tikana diya. Abu Talib did not even accept Islam. But look at the love that he had for Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now we can go into a detailed discussion of yateem and the rights of a yateem and everything else. But here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself says that the best of home is that home in which there is a yateem child that is given care and attention. I'm giving you the gist of and the meaning of it. Now we will say that yateem child must be just somebody that we take from the Darul Yatama. But we many a times forget that yateem child is sometimes within our home, our brother's son, our uncle's son, our nephew's son or daughter, son or daughter, if they lose the father whilst they are not of age, then the child is a yatim. So the care of the yatim. So on the day of Qiyamah, the person who takes care of the yatim and I will be like this, and he pointed his two fingers. And there's the person who passes his hand over the head of a yatim child. He gets sawab for as many strands of hair that there is. Now look at all the rewards. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that if Allah Ta'ala had become displeased with you, if He had become angry with you, if He had forsaken you, then would He have done this? Would you do this to a person that you are angry with and displeased with? So this holding back of the wahi for some time, there is a great reason behind it, there's great wisdom behind it. You don't have to lose hope. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given assurance. Now let's get on to the second part. وَوَجَدَكَ ظَالًا فَهَذَا. Here there is no question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam having gone astray, na'udhu billah, as some translators have given the translation. ظَالًا can have meanings. There is an incident where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in that young age, he went out in Makkah Sharif, and after that he lost the way. In the desert sands, some people lose the way. A wild little child is walking, loses the way. And on the return, Abu Jahl, he happened to spot Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he put him onto the camel. At that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was still a young child. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to show this Abu Jahl that who is this person that you are putting onto the camel. So when he told him to sit behind him, the camel refused to move. Abu Jahl is beating up the camel, but it won't move. Then suddenly he hears a voice from the unseen or whatever happened, but then he puts Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in front of him. And when he puts him in front, then the camel starts moving to show that he is going to be the leader. Although he may be a little child today. But the other meaning which is that وَوَجَدَكَ ظَالًا فَهَذَا. Did we not find you wanting in knowledge? And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is told that when he came amongst the people, at that time he did not have that knowledge. The knowledge of the Quran Sharif was revealed gradually. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed upon him the knowledge of the unseen, Jannat, Jahannam, Akhirat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Marifat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's greatness, Allah ta'ala's glory, and all the masail and all the knowledge of Deen and Sharia and Quran and Sunnah, it came gradually. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no teacher that he had who could have given him this knowledge. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, then we gave you this knowledge which you did not have. And again, that knowledge of how to guide the ummah at large. He did not have any kind of ordinary small responsibility that he was appointed some kind of secretary of one small organization, or he was given presidency of one small organization. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood, the nasara, everyone at that time, the believers, disbelievers, for everyone, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was hidayat and guidance. Some accepted it, some didn't accept, but he was a guidance for everybody. And until the day of Qiyamah, in his teachings, there was going to be guidance and hidayat. So who was it that gave Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam this? Alam yajidka yateema fa'awa wa wajadaka dhallan fahada. Now again here we can go on discussing the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa wajadaka qa'ilan fa'aghna. And we found you very poor and very wanting. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very poor. When he came into this world, there was nobody even to take him. It was Dai Halima who finally took him. But all the other women, they were thinking that if we are going to take this child, what are we going to really get? He is an orphan child. And then as he grew also, look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's condition. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala once again put the love and the muhabbat into the hearts of his grandfather. He spent so much on him. His uncle spent so much on him. And thereafter, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he went into partnership with Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. This was prior to his nubuwwat. And he was very, very honest, and the trade that he did and the profits that he brought were such that nobody else could have done it in that manner. And Hazrat Khadija herself then proposed. Now that is again history. And then when he marries Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and then when he presents Islam to her after he gets the wahi, and she accepts, and then look at the sacrifice that she makes, that everything that she had, a very wealthy woman, but everything is now sacrificed for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's deen and for him. Therefore, you should always think of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put such love into the heart of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, that everything and that he had, he said, was for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, nothing pleases me more than to spend my wealth on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nothing pleases me more than that my daughter is in the nikah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nothing pleases me more than to look at the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the three things that give me most pleasure. So now who is it that again put that muhabbat into the heart? And like that, look at the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhu majma'i. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the hajjatul wida, Many times I've mentioned this, that if he had absolutely nothing, then how was he able to slaughter 100 camels for qurbani? There we argue over one small sheep also. And here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 63 of it he slaughtered with his own hand. So Allah ta'ala had given him plentiful after that. But his nature was this, and that was his mizaj of nubuwwat, that he was not prepared to keep anything, not even one coin for the next day. But for the ummah at large, he gave a sharia, that there are ahkam and laws, that if you have so much, then you give zakat, if you have so much, you give sadqa, and then you must spend as much as possible from that which Allah ta'ala has given you, which is more than your needs and requirements. But for himself, a 2x2 room, that's all he chose. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him. So there were three things that were mentioned, and that is what I'm going to conclude on, and that is the point that I was trying to get across to you. That here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being addressed, and he is told, Alam yajidka yateema fa'awa. So there we talk about shelter. First thing there is shelter. And with shelter, of course, comes everything else that the require, that you don't just give a shelter to a person and then nothing else in the shelter. There are other needs and requirements. Now the detailed aspect we can all understand. But this was the first requirement. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that you have found one thing in knowledge. We gave you that knowledge. We gave you that guidance. We gave you that hidayat. So the second thing there is knowledge. And the third thing that we found you to be very, very poor and very much in need. And therefore we made you rich. وَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. We made you rich, full of independence. So three things have been mentioned there. So besides Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam being addressed, it is addressed to each and every one of us by extended meaning. That everyone who has a child or who has someone that is left behind as an orphan in his family or in his neighborhood, or the person has got someone that is left in his care and he is the guardian, whatever it may be. So every father, it is his duty that he has to provide that shelter for the child. Shelter is the first thing, that for that mother and child, now there has to be shelter. Now for that child, so the first thing is the shelter. Now we can discuss that. The second point is knowledge. That it is the duty of the father and it is the right of the child that he must be given proper knowledge. Now the moment we say proper knowledge, we say science, technology, maths, and all other kinds of professions that we have. Nothing wrong with that. Let the science and child become the best scientist, become the best doctor, the best surgeon. We need all of them. But here that knowledge which we term as fahada, that guidance, the knowledge of ghaib, of akhirat, of jannat, of jahannam, of the rights of Allah ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the knowledge of namaz, the knowledge of zakat, the knowledge of fasting, the knowledge of hajj, the masail that are related to his business, all these things, it is essential, it is necessary, it is the right of the child, and it is the duty of the father that he has to give that knowledge, otherwise it's answerable on the day of qiyamah. Today, parents who are holding their heads and crying, it is because they have not given that knowledge. We have given all other knowledge before the child has even come into the world. We've already got computers for the child, and we've got cell phones, and we've got everything. Because the doctor has said a son is going to be born, it's the first son, so therefore before he even comes, everything is planned. And when he comes into this world, then very soon they may come out with something where the son can communicate by cell phone. If the mother is in the kitchen or somewhere, he can press a few buttons. So we have given all that knowledge, and as I said, there's nothing wrong with it. We give the secular knowledge because we need. Allah Ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, and he gave it in our control. We make use of everything that Allah Ta'ala has created. And if this knowledge makes the person's life comfortable, it makes communication easy, it makes transport easy, nothing wrong with it. But that knowledge of deen has taken a back seat. We are just not concerned. If our child passes with distinction, then we get extremely proud. Even though namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, and akhlaq, and etiquette, and morals may have reached the stage of extinction in his life. Those distinctions we get very high. So this is what, وَوَجَدَكَ ظَالًا فَهَدَى. And then the third thing, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. That means again, it is the duty of the parents and it is the right of the child that the child must be guided along within the capacity and the potential of the father, that he must try to put the child on his feet so that he doesn't remain a beggar, he doesn't remain a pauper, he doesn't have to go and extend his hands because he hasn't been given that education, he hasn't been given that skill, he hasn't been given that knowledge, so now he has to look for handouts. Yes, if it is a desperate situation, the person is making every effort, he has the knowledge, he has the skill, the father did his duty, but now the person doesn't have a job, there's no employment, everything is taken up. So that is an exception to the rule. But these three duties of the parents and the three rights of the child. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us an understanding and give us the tawfiq of amal. As I said, this surah, inshallah, we'll discuss it in detail from beginning to end again. I've been told that there is a tsunami that has struck Japan and many other parts now are being affected. We must make a lot of dua. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove their suffering. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must safeguard them from more destruction. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must open the hearts of the people to come to their assistance. And not only there, but wherever in the world. Because now these natural disasters that we call natural disasters, nothing is just natural disasters. Everything is happening with the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And He's giving lessons for mankind around the globe, which we are not able to take. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all lessons, and may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove the difficulties and pain and suffering of people in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, and all these countries of the world, where there's uprisings, and where there's overthrow, and where there's revolution, and where there's coup d'etats, then millions of people who are innocent, they have to suffer. Look at the millions of people put weddings and bags and everything else, and small belongings they can take, and they are trekking and trekking and trekking. How much shukr we must make to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We must ask Allah ta'ala to protect us from such kind of disasters and such kind of tests and trials. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.